Behind every bit of mom wisdom is a story. A story of a real mom and real kids just trying to love each other well. Whether you're cozied up on the couch with a mug of coffee or out for a walk, you're welcome to join us as we share stories and laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the iMom Podcast. Back on our 100th episode, we did a listener mailbag, and one of the questions that we answered was, what's something that was super stressful in your marriage or parenting that you can now look back on and laugh about? And I think that we all kind of agreed that perspective is helpful in kind of lightening up a situation a little bit. But like when you're in it as a mom, it's hard to not feel like crying. So today, that's what we're going to talk about, how to laugh instead of cry. And Chloe, you said that you had an experience just like this the other day.
Yeah, I had just one of those days where it was like comically bad. It started honestly the night before because my son has a really bad gluten intolerance and my husband made this sauce.
Do you think he does that because he's trendy? Like it's cool to be gluten-free?
He's like, I'm gluten-free, Mom.
How do you even know? He's only like 5 months old. Yeah.
But my husband made us this sauce and I was like, oh, this is really good. What's in it? Blah, 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 flour, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I can't have flour. So around 4 in the morning, James wakes up. His tummy's hurting. I'm like, oh, great.
So you ate it anyway?
Well, I didn't know. I'd already eaten it. I only had a little bit, but it bothered him.
Wow.
So around 4 in the morning, the day began, and it was just chaos. I live super close to my son's daycare, so they were messaging me and they're like, hey, like, can you bring him his gas drops? He's like not eating. And I'm like, okay, great. And it just was one of those things where like I drove up to the daycare, I get out of my car, I get a message from them as I'm walking up to the door and they're like, just kidding, he fell asleep. No need to bring, like, we'll tell you when he wakes up. Okay, great. So I drive back home. I get back home, like, the second I get there. All right, he's awake. Can you bring him his gas drops? I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay. So I get back in my car and, like, go up there. And it just was, like, nonstop. There were a couple of things that happened that day. But I thought about something I'd read on iMom about, you know, laughing instead of crying, because I was just one of those days where I was just on the verge of tears all day, where I just felt one thing went wrong, I was going to burst into tears. And then at the end of the day, I went to go pick up James and I get him at the daycare and he's like actually really happy. They're like, yeah, I took a really good nap in the afternoon. He seems like he's feeling better. Oh, great. You know, check him out, bring him to my car. I left the car seat at the house.
Oh, no.
So I called Trent and we just started dying laughing. He's like, I'm going to come bring you the car seat and buy the house. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what least he could do because he made the sauce with the flour, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Why is it that like some of the, like, it's the silliest things that push us over the edge? You know, like when we're dealing with something that's like serious, we might not feel like crying, but it's like the most random thing that kind of sets us off.
Well, I don't know if it's random, but I do feel like you have those days, especially if you're working like Chloe was that day, where it's that invisible load.
Yeah.
It's you're carrying this load. You don't have any downtime in your schedule, and you can't do this.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff keeps happening that you have to do, and yet you don't have time to do it. So it's pressure.
I think for me it was because I've only been at work, back at work for a month. It was kind of my first time where I was like – really needing to be completely on while my son was at daycare and I was working. And it was just like, you know, my husband, he's at work an hour away. So I was the only one who could do it at the time. And, you know, with him not eating, I was like, it was a lot at once. And that invisible load, that was kind of that first time I felt all of my identities, you know, like I wasn't.
I get it. Your identities were kind of all in fail mode.
Yes.
Because you weren't being a happy mom taking, oh, yes, I'll bring them right away. You weren't being a on it employee because you're having to leave your work. And for those of you who don't know, Chloe is our social media manager. She runs a lot of ads. She has to be in a lot of meetings. So it is squirmy to get out of stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Yeah. You feel like you're dropping the ball on both.
Yes.
Both fronts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how do you keep perspective when you're in the thick of it? Like how do you say, okay, James is fine, or, you know, whatever, whichever one of us is going through a thing, he's fine, work is fine, like, this is not going, everything's not really exploding, it just kind of feels like it. Like, is there something that a mom can repeat to herself or whatever to, like, cue the humor in it instead of the tears?
I feel like for me, It's nothing I will tell myself would help that. I have to call someone that I know I can just vent to or explain the situation. And I know they will either give me sound advice or they will give me some sort of encouragement. So in my case, it's either talking to my husband or talking to my mom. Because for me, I know I can't get myself out of it. Like I have to go to someone. So that's really kind of my go-to, just because I feel like when I'm spiraling, it's nothing else is going to get me out of that at that point.
Yeah. I just had this experience last night. We were trying to fit you try to fit a lot into one night and you're just like, okay, then we're going to do this. And then we're going to do this. And everything was important. And so we couldn't, everything had to get done. And we went up to church for something. And it was at home. I'm telling this story all out of order, but every year on my kid's baptism day, I make a blue cake. It's no purpose, no reason for the blue cake. It's just our tradition. So for both boys, we celebrate their baptism day. We sing their little song and we eat blue cake. So last night we went up to church for a thing. We came home. We had the blue cake. It was late. It was like already 8:30. And normally we are not eating cake at 8:30 at night, right? And my older
especially
son—
Especially with all that blue dye in it, right?
Right? Yeah, exactly. But special occasion. Liam goes to grab the cake platter because he's like, can I have a little bit more? And I'm like, it's Fat Tuesday. Go for it. Whatever. And he grabs the cake platter and it flips. And I wasn't even looking. I just heard it. I heard the thing hit the table. The cake literally did a 180 and landed upside down, frosting side down on the table. I'm like, how did that even happen? Like, how did that happen? And I just look at it. He jumps up and goes to like get something to go pick it up and fix it. And I could tell he was like, mom's going to blow. And he's holding back laughter. And thank God, thank God that I could hear him laughing and trying to hold back laughter. And it made me think, this is okay. This is not something I need to be upset about. We can all laugh. And he and I like bust a gut laughing. Aww. We were laughing so hard because it was just so absurd. Yeah. My question was, how do you keep perspective, or is there something that you can repeat to yourself? For me, it's like, if my kid is giggling about something, it's probably not something I need to get super upset about. Mm. I can read the room and be like, this isn't a big deal, especially if they are laughing and then I blow. I'm like, how am I scaring them or whatever,
Yeah. I feel like for me, the biggest trigger with when things go wrong is if my agenda is being disrupted.
My time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if there's a way to kind of think of that more lightly, mm-hmm. I think that would help me.
Do you have an example?
Well, I mean, just the example of needing to do something from my work and it's it's 10 a.m. and I'm like, okay.
Well, or if you have him on a schedule, if you have James on a schedule and okay, he's napping, he's supposed to be napping right now. Mm-hmm. And so I have a meeting or I have something I'm supposed to do. And all of a sudden you're like, oh,
yeah,
that time has been disrupted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have a strange way of how I laugh instead of getting. So I could be a lot like you, Chloe, the time pressure or feeling like we're going to a family party. We all have to be there. They're waiting. They expect us there. I always had more kids than everybody else in the family or my friends. So more people to get ready, more personalities to deal with. So I like to get it done with fun. That's the corner I'm in. Not get it done right necessarily, get it done with fun. I used to make it a competition. If things started going wrong, mm-hmm. I'd say, oh, okay, well, how am I going to make this into a lesson that I think is funny? The kids aren't going to laugh.
Yeah.
So for example, we're going to a birthday party and they all start fighting in the back seat. And I'm like, great, we're going to walk in this family party and all my kids are fighting and whatever. I have, okay, well, we're just going to pull over and I'm going to play a game on my phone. And literally, they keep fighting until they realize we're not on the way to the party.
Oh my gosh.
And then, mom, what are you doing? I'm just waiting for y'all to finish. Mm-hmm. And there have been times when I've turned around and gone home.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a little bit fun if you make it a competition to teach them a lesson that, okay, this isn't about the pressure I feel to get to the party, which I could beat myself up over, or getting frustrated with my kids because they're all fighting. And then I start yelling at them, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop hitting your brother. Stop doing this. That just escalates it. I try to flip it and say, how can I make this?
You're protecting your joy.
Well, and it – it does take you out of the anger,
yeah,
or the sadness, and it reminds you this is about raising kids, and you know, they need a lesson right now, and this is going to be really funny when they start asking me why we're not going somewhere. And I turn around, Mom, you're going the wrong direction. And then you're just not talking to them because they weren't listening to you the first time when you asked them to stop fighting. And so it kind of is, I know it probably makes me sound really mean, but it is kind of fun to kind of laugh.
I love it. That
and kind of go, well, it, you know, and then when they finally do quiet down, you go, look, we can't go, we're not going to walk into a party like that.
Yeah.
This is not who we are. This is not how we want to be. So you tell me when you can be kind with each other and we'll go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what about when it involves stuff? I would love to say that, you know, things are just things, but if your toddler spills the cup of milk on the couch or takes the Sharpie to your great grandmother's armoire, it's like, it's a lot. So how do you keep all that in perspective? Is it just that it's all stuff?
Oh, not when it's somebody else's stuff. You feel so bad.
Yeah.
That's hard. Megan, mm-hmm. you have a much more perfect house than me, so I know this is probably a thing for you with two boys.
No, I mean, I've just learned what chemicals – I've just learned what chemicals get what out.
Well, and that's true. Then, it, like you said, you call a friend. You go, okay, I just got Sharpie, or he just got Sharpie on this piece of furniture. What do I do? You know, you reach out to a friend and hope they can come to the rescue.
No, a Sharpie, because James did that on my chair in the kitchen. Alcohol. And I don't mean the drinking alcohol.
Like rubbing alcohol.
Literally took it out. Wow. It was amazing.
I tried hydrogen peroxide on the carpet, and it left a stain. So now instead of whatever was there, there's
hydrogen peroxide. Well, mine was a perennial fabric, so I can say that.
Folex is the best chemical.
What is that?
Folex is the best.
Folex, I don't know, but it works.
F-O-L-E-X.
Is it in like the laundry?
Is sponsored by Folex.
So, no, my other daughter worked at Restoration Hardware for a while, and it's what they use. Like, it gets out almost everything.
So where do you find it?
Amazon,
online,
anywhere. Amazon? No, I think even the grocery store has it now. Publix
right,
had
I'll
it.
I'll put a link in the show notes, and we'll do an affiliate link. Nice, nice. A lot of women, I've heard so many women say, I'm a perfectionist, and da-da-da-da. Could that be at the root of the tears or us taking things too seriously, like that we just want things to feel perfect and look perfect, and then when they're not perfect, because kids are kids, we crumble.
Yeah. I think just the chaos, feeling out of control.
Out of control. That's what I was going to say for me. It's that feeling of, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everyone's definition of perfect is different. Yeah. For some people, like a fun house that all the kids are like laughing and running crazy, that's perfect. It just depends on, you know, for me, I like a house that's really tidy. And so I do start to get like lose my cool when I can tell that they're like dropping things everywhere. I'm like, pick up after yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I also feel like crying when I like drop the ball on something that matters to my kids. You know, those are the times like when I know that I have disappointed them, I can't laugh about it because they were counting on me. Like the other day, and this feels kind of silly, but my younger son's class won enough like good behavior rewards to get an O uniform day. And it was just his class, like just his half of fifth grade. And so that's like a big deal. It's not like the whole school or anything. And I sent him to school in a uniform. And because I totally forgot. I totally forgot. Aww. And he came home and I was like, oh, it was school. He goes, well, I wore my uniform and nobody else did. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And I just know he was really looking forward to it. And he wasn't mad at me. He was fine. But I couldn't laugh about it because I was like, man, I robbed him of like this fun experience, you know? Yeah. Like, how do we go easy on ourselves when other people's emotions contribute to how we're feeling, you know?
Yeah. That's a hard one because I would have been crushed too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, poor buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens. We just have to tell ourselves, hey, this happens. And I'm sorry, I dropped the ball, buddy. How can I make it up to you? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like we're told so often, give yourself grace in motherhood, but it is so hard to do.
Well, because we feel our kids' emotions. We just do, and that would be.
Yeah.
It's really easy to say that, to say, oh, give yourself grace. We all make mistakes. But when you're in the, you know, the heat of the moment, you just feel like, you know, really small.
Yeah. And I've heard this quote so many times, but it's, you know, talk to yourself like you talk to your best friend and, you know, give yourself the advice you give your best friend. Megan says she wants to call her mom, you know, call her husband when she's in a, you know, a tough spot emotionally. It's like, we need to give ourselves that same grace and that same advice mm-hmm. we'd get from a friend.
Well, on that note, what do you do to teach your kids to laugh at their mistakes and to find the humor in these tough situations?
I was actually listening to the All Pro Dad podcast the other day, and our producer, Bobby, who is on that podcast,
and in the room,
he's not just a pretty face.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe he should tell the story. Bobby, you need to correct me if I butcher it, but I don't know if it was him or a friend of his that actually challenged their child to go to school and fail and come home and tell them what they did to fail that day on purpose so that they got used to making mistakes and failing and being okay with it because they tried something that maybe they wouldn't have tried.
That was before. The CEO of Spanx, wasn't it? Remember the
Who was it? Susan, I think her dad told her that too. I think Sarah Blakely's dad, I think, had her do that too. Mm-hmm. And that's how she got really comfortable with failing and making mistakes.
I think they follow us. I mean, kids watch their parents for sure, or their older sibling. And you know, the oldest in the family usually is more of a perfectionist. So you kind of have to manage them first, or the younger ones start feeling the pressure too.
I find myself a lot of time, like if I mess something up, I go, oh, Abby, why did you do that? That was silly. That was, or I'll say that was dumb. Because I want my kids to like hear that I do acknowledge my mistakes, but I'm wondering if that language is the wrong language to use.
Yeah. I have a friend who, even when she like makes a wrong turn or something in her car, she'll say to her kids, oh, oops, mommy made a mistake. That's so silly. I'm going to try it again. And I like that she does that. Like, even it's something as little as like a direction thing, but it, you know.
Yeah.
I think remembering them too and saying, oh my gosh, remember the time I did that? Like, remember the time I forgot to tell you to wear your uniform and you were the only kid?
Yeah, because it brings it, like you said, the perspective of later, but it makes it a funny story.
He'll be like, yeah, mom, I still remember. How about some ice cream tonight? Fine. Have another one. That's good. Okay, so then last question, because the whole topic today is laughing when you want to cry. When is it good to just cry? Like, when is it good to be okay with being upset about it or actually feeling that hard, sad emotion?
Well, if you have a 4 in the Enneagram every day.
That's true. That is true.
So I think you have to recognize their feelings and your feelings.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to really hurt and laugh about it later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if it doesn't involve things and if it is something that you can like in the moment go, all right, I know this. This feels heavy now. This feels like a lot now. I'm getting called back to daycare 3 times and I forget that. Like, sometimes I think we can understand that this is something that's going to pass. But if it is something that's really emotionally difficult and you know that crying is the way that you're going to actually be able to like let it out and move forward, then just cry. Be in that bad place for a second and then move on, move past it. If you know you're not going to be able to move on unless you experience the hard stuff, then feel it.
Yeah. Sometimes I put a timer on my phone, like 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to cry about it. And then once this timer's up, I'm done. I do that about talking about things with Trent. I'll be like, this is really bothering me. 5 minutes.
Wow.
If I go past this 5 minutes, don't let me talk about it anymore.
And if you can't explain it to your kids while you're crying, like I definitely had many PMS moments like that. The shower. I love to cry in the shower. I love to cry in the shower.
Good tip.
The tears just blend with the shower water.
Yeah, they just do. That hot water makes you feel better.
Down the drain. Well, you can find a lot of encouraging articles on imom.com. They'll help you when you need to know everything is going to be okay. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the iMom podcast. iMom is the motherhood program of the nonprofit organization Family First. Along with our fatherhood program, All Pro Dad, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the iMom Minute, by going to imom.com/subscribe and get tons of great ideas, insight, and inspiration. The iMom podcast is hosted by me, Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal.